coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm setting the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Pastor Chris, word hearing.
Open into your Bibles. Remember our theme scripture where Jesus let us know that anything is possible. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, from verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Talking about the devil that afflicted that little boy whose father brought him to be delivered by Jesus. In the 20th verse, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise God. Jesus said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. In other words, anything is possible. Amen. All things are possible. In other words, you can do anything. That's what Jesus said. And remember, he never lied to anyone. Get back to St. Matthew's Gospel, this time the 21st chapter. Have you seen it? I'm reading verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. I want you all to read verse 22 together. One to go. Did he say some things? Did he say some things? No. He says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. There are two things here for us to understand. Verse 21 is not talking about prayer. Verse 21 is talking about the spoken word of faith. Verse 22 talks about prayer. You can see that there. And that's the prayer of faith. Did you notice that? In verse 21, he says, if you have faith, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree. You remember the fig tree Jesus talked to. When he said to the tree, you would never produce fruit anymore. He cursed the tree. And by the next day, it withered away. That's what the Bible says. So, he says, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. In other words, what you say is what you get. Then it says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So, we're talking about that there's a difference between verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 22 talks about prayer, because he said, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, I want to show you something else in So Mark's Gospel in chapter 11. So Mark's Gospel. Chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, if you have a good marginal reference Bible, you would notice he actually says, have the faith of God. Or in other words, have the God kind, God type of faith. Now, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now verse 24 again is the prayer of faith. But verse 23 is not talking about prayer. It's telling you what you can do with your words. Now these scriptures let us know that we can actually determine how far we can go in life. How successful we could be. How prosperous we could be. What kind of life, how healthy we could be. He's actually letting us know it's up to us to do something about our lives. Now, remember this. Jesus died for everybody. You believe that? Did he die for Christians? No, Jesus didn't die for Christians. He died for the world. Those of them who believe in him and receive his salvation are the ones who become Christians. And Jesus didn't die for Christians. He died for sinners. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he paid for everybody. So no one has any reason to live in condemnation anymore, because the blood of Jesus Christ was enough for every sin, for every evil, for every wrong that was ever committed in this world. The blood of Jesus was enough to pay the full penalty for sin. And so in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 it says, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the senses, but according to the Spirit. In other words, who do not walk according to their feelings, praise God, but according to the Spirit. You know, there are people who walk according to their feelings. If they feel good today, then God is with them. If they feel bad today, then God is not with them. Sometimes people pray and they say, well, when I prayed, I really felt close to God. I felt like heaven was down. And then some other times they pray and then they say, well, heaven was like brass. Looks like my prayer didn't go beyond the ceiling. It appears God's not hearing me anymore. There are even people who cry that way. They say, well, I used to feel the love of God so strong, but now I can't even feel the presence of God. And then they start crying. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. That's the reason it's a walk of faith. It's a life of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says we walk, in other words, we live by faith and not by sight, not by sensory perception. We walk by faith. You know, sometimes I ask people, even the healing school, I ask them, I say, how are you going to know that you're healed when God heals you? Well, sometimes they tell me, well, if I feel it, I know he hasn't healed me. If I don't feel it anymore, then I know God's healed me. I say, you're wrong. That's not faith. The Bible never said, when God heals you, you never feel anything anymore. It doesn't say that. It'd be wrong to think that if you don't feel it, then God has healed you. If you still feel it, then God hasn't healed you. That's walking by sensory perception. Hey, come on. Are there no people who go to the doctor And they think everything is all right. They say, well, I just want to have a checkup. That's all. A regular checkup. Some people think they've got to see the doctor every 3 months. Some others every month. Some every 6 months. Some every year or every 2 years. But we're told you've got to see the doctor sometime in your life. You don't have to. That's not in the Bible, is it? Come on, talk to me. No, it's not in the Bible. So, well, there are people who go to the doctor, and for them, everything is all right. But then the doctor checks them and says, what? You sure you're all right? Oh, yes, I'm all right. Are you sure you're all right? Oh, yes. Is there any problem? Oh, my goodness. You have to be admitted right away. Me? That's how come some people found themselves in the hospital. He doesn't feel anything. But a doctor says, you got cancer. What? No, it can't be. Then they say, look here. He doesn't know how to read it, but a doctor says he's got cancer. And right away, he begins the medication. Did he feel anything before he was told he was sick? No. His sickness began when he heard from the doctor. That's when he really got sick. He could have lived his whole life with that thing. You know, a man said that his wife had been ill for some time. And he said, what's the matter with you? And she said, well, I don't know. And he said, you've always been like this, always in and out of sickness all the time because you don't want to work. You're lazy. That's the reason. You're lazy. I'm fed up of it. I'm tired of it. This week you're all right. Next week you're bad. This week, okay. I'm fed up. She didn't say anything. So he went to work. Came back in the night. And she said she needed a little rest. So he felt he was going to deal with her. Then he said, all right, tomorrow you're moving to the hospital. And he was stern about it. The wife said, what? It's not that serious. He said, it's serious. He thought he had to deal with her and get her to be serious. So he said, you're moving to the hospital. So she said, but it's not that serious. He said, it is serious. I'm fed up. I can take care of you like this. They can take care of you at the hospital. So she said, it's all right. But what are you going to say is wrong with me? He said, you have to have a test. She said, it's okay. So they went. He laid the complaint before the doctor. That something's wrong with his wife. He just can't understand why she just wouldn't be happy. The doctor had a talk with the woman. And after having a talk with the woman, he said, being an old man, an old doctor, you know, an old cat, he knew exactly what to do. He told the lady, now whatever I tell you I find wrong with you, don't be disturbed. Just say it's okay, all right? She said it's all right. You know, she had been taken to another room. The husband was waiting. Then the doctor came out with the lady and said, Sarah, what we have to do is to perform a very quick test. We'll send her to the lab immediately and then, so we can get a quick result. If you don't mind, you can wait. So they waited. And took the lady away to God knows where. And then after about an hour or so, he came back. with a paper which he drafted all by himself. You know, he just, because he felt something was going on. The lady said she was alright. She always felt tired because she alone had to do all the housework. That was why she always felt sick. But that she wasn't really sick. She needed some help. But the husband wouldn't understand. So doctor came back with this paper and took his glasses off and said to the man, "I'm very sorry." He said, "What's the matter?" "I'm really very sorry." And he was 10. Doctor said, the man said, "What is it, doctor?" He sat down. He said, "I have bad news." Brought out the paper and said, while giving it to him, he said, "Your wife has HIV." And the man wouldn't even take the paper. He fell from his chair. Because he knew what that meant. If the wife had HIV, he wasn't concerned about the wife now. He was thinking about himself. He didn't even say from where. That didn't matter now. He knew he had to have something too. For the next few days, he was very quiet, very calm. Should I tell you the rest of the story? Oh boy. It's amazing how just a little information could change a whole family. The man became friendly, very calm, very quiet, but this time he was thinking about himself dying. The wife said, "Would you like to have a test?" He said, "Oh, no, 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 no." He said, "There's no need. I think we just live our lives and let's be happy. And however long we have to live in this world, it doesn't really matter. It's how happy we are." So they became best of friends. Until the next appointment. The doctor said, about a month later, the doctor said, "How's it been?" "Well, everything is fine." The wife said, "We've been living a very normal life. Everything has been fine." Then the doctor said, "All right, can I talk to you, sir?" He said, "Yeah." Then he said, "Really, there's nothing wrong with your wife." Everything that was wrong with you. Do you know something? Can I tell you what? The doctor had more difficulty convincing him that everything was all right this time. Praise God. The doctor said it was harder for him to convince the man that nothing was wrong and that that paper had been produced by himself. They hadn't gone to the lab. The man would hardly believe it, but he was scared to have a test. Well, at the end, he had to accept it. Only God knows how much he has accepted it to date. But they've been living a normal life. And that's their testimony. Now, I said that to say this. Our lives are constantly run by what we hear, what we are told. Have you ever seen your intestines? Talk to me. Have you seen your intestines? How do you know you have some? You saw that in a book. You've never seen yours. And I'm sure that most of you here have never actually looked into another person's intestines with whatever equipment. But you believe there has to be some. Is that right? You sure you got something inside? Have you ever seen them? No, but you believe because you read about them. You heard about them. You believe. Have you ever seen your brain? Is there a brain? You agree there's a brain. Have you seen yours? Have you seen the one belonging to another person? But the book says there is. Because we trust that the man who said there was had studied about it. We believe in his education, his insight, his knowledge. That means we have the ability to trust anything we choose to trust. You see that? So believing is a choice. There's nobody who cannot believe. Believing is a choice. You choose to believe. You choose to accept something as real. You choose to reject it. That's the reason God can hold someone responsible for believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus. Because it was a choice. Praise God. Hallelujah. All those things you read on newspapers, did you follow the journalist? But you believe. You say, I read it somewhere. You don't even know the man's name who wrote it. Sometimes they put the name there, but you don't know his face. Is it a true name? See how you believe. Come on, see how you believe. Hey, see how you believe. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many of you have ever gone to America? Is America in the air? Okay, how many of you here don't think America is in the air, suspended in the air? Why don't you think so? You've never been there anyway. You have reasons to believe differently. It's either because you read something, or you saw something, or because someone told you. Correct? Good. Now say this. Say, I have the ability to believe anything that I choose to believe. I have a choice to accept or reject whatever I hear. It's up to me. Praise God. And that's the reason God decided to give you words. Words that if you accept them, they have the ability to do something within you. To do something about your life. To change you. To alter the course of your life. To change your destiny. God's word can. Hallelujah. God's word can. Now look at something we've read several times. I said here, Jesus has been teaching us about the power of our words. How that we can be mindful of what we say. Proverbs again, chapter 18, verse 21. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say that with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. One more time. Did you hear that? In other words, you can speak life or you can speak death. Now, when Jesus talked to the fig tree, he spoke death to the fig tree and it withered away. If you have a tumor in your body, you can speak death to it. You see that? You can curse it and command it to die and pass out of your body. And it will. Jesus said it will. You see that? And you can speak life to your body. You say, well, my fingers can't move. Speak life. Now, you have to understand that the words that affect us, especially the words that have to contend with the fallen world. Hey, get this. Understand this. We live in a world that is already a fallen world, a negative world. It is perfectly natural for anything negative to be produced in this world. Come on. You get it? It's perfectly natural. There are no adversaries in the world for those things that are consistent with the world system. But anything that is not of this world has adversaries to contend with. It's natural to get sick. Depending on your environment, the kind of sickness that you could have will be dependent on your environment. So it's natural. It's natural for things not to work out the best way. It's natural to go up, to come down. You know what I'm talking about. So, all of those things are natural. But if you want to see something that is not of this world, which is positive, then the natural world will war against it. So if you start talking negatively about your life, it's very easy to go on a downward slide. Very, very easy, because the whole environment is perfectly fitted for it. Everything is friendly with the negative life. It's been built. Our environment has been built for us to accommodate the negative life, to accommodate failure, to accommodate poverty. Everything is just all right to accept it. The world is sickness friendly, poverty friendly, disease friendly. Why are they trying to fight it? But if you want to be successful, you want to be healthy, you want to be prosperous, then you're trying to ask for something that the world is not perfectly fitted for. Which means you're not going to speak just as easily or as lightly as you would have done with the negative words. You would now have to speak in such a way that your whole nature accepts it to release it. Hear this. Words are forces. Words are things. They set up a force field that can affect the environment in which they are spoken. They can get weaker and they can get stronger. The more you speak them, believe in them, and act in your faith about them, the more powerful they are. The more effective they are. And you have to sustain the power of those words by your faith. So, you cannot say today, I have the health of God in me, I'm a success in the name of Jesus, and then tomorrow morning, you say, I can't understand why the whole world is like this now. It looks like I'm getting sick. It looks like I'm going to fail. You can't say that. Now, if you say that, the positive one you spoke yesterday will not work. And if all your life you've been talking negatively, you would need to build a whole lifestyle now of being word-minded. So it's not something that You know, sometimes you talk to people like this and then they say, well, I've tried it. I've been doing it for 1 week and it hasn't worked. Look, you've built your whole life. Imagine if you're 45 years old. You've built your last 40 years in a negative life. And you expect that in the last 6 months, you should clear up all the negative infrastructure that you set up in your life. It can't go that way. You're building a whole new life. You're building a whole new life. So don't think that all the results will come overnight. No, but just keep going on. Keep insisting because this is the right way. And keep going on. Keep going on. Before long, those structures will start coming down. They start coming down while you're building new ones. See? But if you try 2 weeks or 2 months and then give up and become confusing, you can deceive your spirit. Oh boy. I'll show you something. Will you turn to the book of James? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter number 1. Are you there? Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! I love God's word. Because I can live by it every day. And I just keep moving. Forward only. Upward only. Backward never. Downward never. No way. I just keep moving forward. Say, that's my life. Forward only. Say, I'm a success. Say it again. I'm a success. Say it one more time. I'm a success. I do not fail. I do not fail. See, it's not in my nature. You understand that? See, failure is not consistent with my nature. I mean, it's not consistent with the nature of a chicken for you to ride on it. Alright? It's not a beast of burden. You can ride a horse, a camel, but not a chicken. You see, it's just not consistent with its nature. So you don't say a chicken cannot carry a man. You say chickens don't carry men. You understand the language? They don't. The issue is not can it. It could if you decided to sit on it. If you decided to grow it big and sit on it, it could, but it's not consistent with its nature. I'm sure you understand that. See, when you were born again, failure was removed from your life. But why do some Christians still fail? God says, my people perish. My people suffer for the lack of knowledge. They don't understand. That's why they suffer. I don't fail. I'm a success. And let me tell you something. You know, you could just be sitting in front of me now and say, well, but I just feel the jam. Or, oh yeah, or maybe you had a professional exam and you failed that one. Say, but, well, I just failed that one. Uh-uh, that's man rating you. You've got to understand that. That's got nothing to do with the rest of your life. You could have a D in class. You could even have an F in class. But don't you have a D in life? I mean, you can have a D in class and still become the most successful person in that class. Come on, one, how many professors are a success in life? How many? There are too few of them. Hey, come on, let's read this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't let anybody look down on you. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Is that correct? Yes. You see, it's so important that we understand God's word. And we ought to see ourselves with the eyes with which God sees us. You may be dressed in rags, but let them be neat. Are you hearing me? Never envy anybody. Do you hear what I said? Never envy anybody. You're going somewhere. Remember what I told you before. Nobody in this world was ever like you. Of all that God ever made, nobody was ever like you. And today, over 5 billion people on the face of the earth, nobody is like you. And nobody will ever be like you. You're absolutely unique. The way God can do it through you, He can't do it through somebody else. He can't do it exactly the same way. Why? Because the two materials are different. So what does that mean? There's a place for you. Hallelujah. There's a place for you in this life. There's a place for you. A place of joy. A place of prosperity. A place of success. And you make up your mind, you are not going to take another person's place. Because it won't work. Listen, Jesus died for you. And that blood bought you. Bible says you are bought with a price. He bought you. He paid for you. Have you seen anybody in his right mind? Have you seen anybody in his right mind who goes into the supermarket and says, I want to buy rubbish. You got any rubbish to sell for me? Just give me any rubbish. Or someone who comes with money to say, I want to buy useless things. Or please give me nothing. You know, some people say, we are nothing before thee. Nonsense! They think they are being humble. No, but they're being ignorant. You are bought with a price. I like to know what I'm worth to God. I like to know what I'm worth. What's my value? I like to know. What am I worth? I can tell what I'm worth. Now, look at this. If I pulled off this ring, that's my wedding ring. If I pulled it up and I gave it to you and I said, take. I bought it 2,500 naira. And then you say, thank you. Thank you very much. That's what you tell me. And then you put it somewhere. You may even forget it. But if I said, take. That's 2.5 million. You would say, man, oh man. Did you say I should hold it for you, or you understand what I'm talking about now? All right. Now, why did I say that? That's to say, you want to know, see, The amount is not written on it, all right? The ring is not money, so you're not... But it's got value. The value is on the price tag. So you look at it. Have you ever gone into a boutique? And then, you know, you look at this dress and you feel, doesn't even look beautiful. But you think, well, what's this? And you look at, they must be kidding. $230 for this skirt? You want to know, should you be standing here or should you go someplace else? Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to find out what's my value. The Bible says, ye are bought with a price. What price? I want to know what price. Peter tells us what price it is. He says, you see, brethren, you were not redeemed by silver or gold or precious stones, but with the precious blood of the Son of God. Hey, do you mean if I'd been the only one on earth, the man would have died for me? The Bible shows, yeah. You must be joking. Don't you tell me God sees me as valuable to him as Jesus. You don't mean that, do you? Well, the Bible shows emphatically, yes. Dear God, with all my wrongs, I'm that valuable to God? Did Jesus say anything about it? Can I see it? Show me something then. Then I go, all right, you want to see something? I'll show it to you. I like the very words of the Master. Can I read it to you? And the glory. Jesus is praying in the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel. He's praying to the Father before he goes to the cross. This is the chapter before he's betrayed. This prayer is so important to Jesus. And so he says from verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given thee. Hey! What about all the prophecy we used to hear? The Lord will never share his glory with anybody. They were talking from their brains. He will not share his glory with the heathen gods. But he has given us. I want you to notice the tenses. He doesn't say he's going to do it. He says the glory. Look at it again, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Dear Lord. That means I ought to be living a glorified life. Are you hearing me? That means he has honored me. So I'm an honored person. Hey, come think about it. I'm an honored person. So from today, I can carry myself with dignity. Don't wait till you have money in millions. Don't wait till some fellow somewhere honors you. Stand up tall. You're God's man. You're God's woman. You're honored with the glory of Jesus. That's why I don't think I should tell lies anymore, because I'm a glorified person. That's why I don't think I ought to steal, because I'm a glorified person. I'm an honored person with dignity. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, boy. I thought I was down and out. But he says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given. He didn't say, I shall give when they pray hard enough. He didn't say, I'll try to get some of them. He says, I have given them, that there may be one, even as we are one. He's praying to the Father. Then he goes in verse 23, the big one. I in them. Listen, he's talking about us. I in them, and thou in me. He's talking to the Father. He says, I in them. That's us. And thou, Father, in me. Hey, come on. If he's in me and the Father is in him, that means Papa God also has his life in me. Hallelujah. Boy, look at this. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, Lora Actosashkunda Labarita, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that the world may know. Jesus is concerned that the world should know that God sent him to do what he did on the cross. That's why I preach the gospel everywhere. He wants everybody to know. He wants the whole world to know that God sent him. That he was not an ordinary man. That he came from heaven. God sent him. What he did on the cross was not ordinary. He was sent of God. Look at it. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. He wants the world to know that the Father has loved us. He says, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Great news. He wants the world to know that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Listen, he wants the world to know. He says that the world may know. That means Jesus is concerned about my success. He wants everybody to know that God loves me. He wants people to begin to testify. Boy, God loves that guy. Can you see the desire of the Master? He wants the world to know. He wants those who work with you to know. He wants those who live around you to know. He wants the whole world to know that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. He's placed as much value on us as Jesus. So, if you were taken up by disease, Jesus wants you to suddenly get up and let everybody wonder, how come? That the world may know that the Father has loved you. If you believe in Jesus and you have been living in poverty, he wants you to suddenly get up and your business keeps getting blessed and expanding, glorified, that the world may know that the Father has loved you. Think about it. Is this real? I told you I want to show you something in the book of James. Can we rush there? James chapter 1. He wants the world to know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I said, I'm blessed. And I'm walking in it. Glory to God. I'm walking in the blessing. Hey, hallelujah. I'm blessed. And you understand something? Sometimes you don't have money in your bank account. You don't have money in your pocket. Still shout, I am blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm loved. Somebody said, hey, you are very lucky. I'm blessed. Glory. Oh, glory. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Look. I'm blessed, glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's finish this. James chapter 1. And I am reading from verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word. Doers of the word. That means word practitioners. Oh, glory. How do you do the word? You speak it. You act it. You are honored. You know who you are. Say this. Say, I found my place in Christ. He has brought me into a large place. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I have. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. Let me explain that to you. Can I explain that to you? All right. Now, you know, here you are. And you brought some of your children. You're an old man and you've got lands and lands and lands. So you brought your children out and you're saying, I want to divide the land into different portions for all of you. So you say, look at this line over here. This way, this way, this way. This is for John. Then follow this line over here, and this way, this way, this is for Tony. And then this line over here. Now, when it got to my turn, I found out that the lines were falling onto me in pleasant places. I got the best land, brother! I found that everything was in there. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a wonderful heritage. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 22 again. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Now that's important. Did he say deceiving other people? Your own self. Now it'll get stronger. Let's go on. For if any be a hearer of the word, how do you deceive yourself? And what's the implication of that? You'd see it in a moment. Verse 23, for if anybody be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man. Hey, you've got to catch this. He is like, listen, every time as you study God's word, you've got to really meditate because there's so much in there. All right? Now notice this. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass, that's in a mirror. He says, such a person is like a man who's looking at his face, his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself. What's that saying? That the hearer is a man who sees himself in a mirror. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man who sees his natural face in a mirror. Which means to hear the word is to see your natural face in a mirror. If you take a physical mirror, you will see your natural physical face, your natural self in that mirror. If you take God's spiritual mirror, which is the Word of God, you will see your spiritual natural self. That's your new nature. Are you hearing this? All right, let's go on. But this guy is not a doer, so what? Verse 24 says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He sees himself in that mirror. And then he goes his way. And right away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. You see, he says, the one who's not a doer looks at himself in the mirror. And then when he turns to go, right away he forgets. He forgets what manner of man he was when he looked in there. He's already forgotten his image. He doesn't know himself anymore. He doesn't remember what he looks like. Hey, but, oh dear, 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 dear Lord. That means when you study God's word, when you hear God's word, if you are a doer, you're the man who remembers what you look like. I was showing you a mirror a moment ago that you're as valuable as Jesus is to the Father. You're as loved as Jesus is to the Father. So you're seeing yourself. You're seeing your real value. What's going to happen when you get out of here? Are you going to act like it? Or are you going to forget what you saw in the Word of God? Jesus said, anything is possible to the believing one. To me, glory to God, anything is possible. Will you forget that he said those words to you? Look, this is beautiful. Verse 25. Can I get a Living Bible? There's just one line I'd like to read to you from the Living Bible. Who's got Living Bible? Paraphrase edition. Living Bible, living. Every Bible here is living though. This particular one is more living, especially in this verse. Thank you. Oh boy. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh! Oh! Dear Lord Jesus. Thanks a million. Let me read it to you first from the King James. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein. That means and continues to look. In other words, you don't look into God's word and turn away. No, he says anybody who looks into the perfect law, he calls the word of God the perfect law of liberty. And continues to look. Whosoever looketh and continues to look. Can I just read that line from the Living Bible? Listen. Oh. But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men. See, hey, this is God's law for free men. God's law for free men. You know, we used to sing that old song many years ago. I still love it. I am free to be the servant of the Lord. Free to be the servant. Free to serve God. Free to walk in the light. Free to live righteously. Free to walk in divine health. Free to walk in prosperity. This is God's law for free men. For he whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Now he has given us God's law for free men. The sinners are not free. Come on, take it. That's just what I wanted you to see in the Living Bible. That's enough for you to buy a copy of the Living Bible. Hallelujah. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he calls it the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now listen. I want you to notice something here. In verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. Hey. The man is talking about looking into God's word and talking that way and acting that way. He says, if anyone seems to be religious and doesn't control his tongue. There's some guys who they seem to be very religious. Very sweet. Like Job we talked about. They're so nice, so humble, so wonderful. No, you need to see some Christians. I mean, they are really beautiful when it comes to looking holy. I mean looking. Because no Christian is more righteous than another. We all have the same righteousness. Including the guy who messed up before coming to church today. I mean, he told a lie at the gate before he got in here. His righteousness has not changed. Your righteousness does not change. You don't grow in righteousness. You don't become more righteous. You don't become any less righteous. Oh, you didn't know that? There's something about the church. Hallelujah. You do not grow in righteousness. You grow in grace. Not in righteousness. Your righteousness is perfect and absolute. You are as righteous today as you would be in heaven. The teaching of holiness in the New Testament means that you are placed in God's place. That's what makes you holy. You see that? You belong to Him. His presence makes you holy. Hey, but come here. Look at this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, doesn't control his tongue. I mean, stop talking negatively. That's what I'm telling you. Jesus said, with your mouth, you can get anything, do anything, get anywhere. You can say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm going to be the head of that corporation. You will get there. You will get there if you maintain your confession. And you know something? Your confession creates realities. Because as you keep confessing it, you become stronger on the inside, and it will guide you to do whatever is necessary to be done to get you there. Now, look at it. If any man among you seem to be religious without controlling his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This is trouble. I wanted you to see this. He says, the one who seems religious, he looks nice, everything just looking okay. He's religious. He can sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. He's just wonderful. Even very gifted ministers. Some even in the ministry of healing, you wouldn't believe when they talk. They talk negatively with all the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Evangelists, teachers, pastors. Some of them don't understand what I'm telling you now. But you see, the anointing will never change your tongue. So you wonder, how could such a thing have happened to that man? How could it? Yeah, because he didn't understand his stuff. Look at it. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. That means to deceive your spirit. Your heart is your spirit. You know how it is to deceive a man's spirit? I'll tell you. This is very, very serious. Listen, tell somebody it's very, very serious. Okay, as the typical Nigerian would say, it's serious, oh. Okay, you know, they add O to everything they say. Oh, come, oh, yes, oh, I'm coming, oh. We talked about that Monday, right? Yeah, yes, oh. That's O and now. You know the person is from Nigeria. Come now. What is it now? How now? Okay now. All right, oh. Keep it, oh. All right, open it, oh. Hallelujah. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and doesn't control, bridle his tongue, put his tongue under control, but deceives his own heart, deceives his own spirit, he says, this man's religion is worthless. All his quietness and everything, he says, is empty. That everything you are seeing about him is all he has. That's what he's telling, he says, it's vain, it's empty. Why? Because your tongue, Jesus said, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, you can locate a man from his words. The anointing can come on anything. The anointing came on a donkey one day and he began to speak. So there are still some donkeys today that the anointing comes on. And then they talk under the anointing, they're all right. So you wonder, down the platform, how come the donkey can't do nothing but is a beast of burden? Sure. That's a proverb. Some of you didn't quite get it. Just leave it there. To deceive your heart means, see, when you hear God's word, now, when you receive Christ into your life, your heart, your spirit has the nature of God. It answers to the Spirit of God. It responds and is accountable to the Spirit of God. That recreated spirit of yours has the mentality of a king. Right from the day you're born again, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's in your spirit. You are awakened to the fatherhood of God. He has a success mentality from day one. Because that's the day that he received the measure of faith. Now, it's up to you to begin growing that faith, disciplining that human spirit, subjecting him to the exercise of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, or moving along with negatively programmed people and deceiving your spirit. Now, a Christian who believes he's not quite righteous, if he believes it for long enough, his spirit will accept it. Are you following this now? His spirit will accept it. His spirit has been deceived. Now, you are no longer dealing with a mental thing. That guy will be a failure. If he can deceive his spirit with words and fear, listen, the guy didn't control his tongue. The more he talks negatively, the more his spirit accepts it. The more his spirit accepts that we cannot be what? Successful. It is transferred to his whole nature. Today you're successful, tomorrow you're a failure. Well, only greedy Christians talk about money. Alright? You believe that? Only greedy Christians talk about money. Greedy preachers who want people's money, they always talk about money. You talk like that. The more you talk like that, the more your spirit accepts it. And the more you run around with people like that, the more your spirit accepts it. Now, the Bible says that man's heart has been deceived. And what's going to happen to a deceived spirit? It'll produce the wrong thing. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, it'll produce the wrong thing. And the natural consequence of that is failure. The Bible says, a fool's destruction is in his own mouth. His words, his tongue, is his destruction. The words he speaks, that's where he's destroyed. That's where his failure really is. You do not fail in life because of your parents, because of your lineage, or because you didn't go to school. If you haven't gone to school here and you are less than 40, go to school. Why? It'll take you only 5 years to be through with your university. Maximum 5 years. So if you're 35, at 40 you come out, you're a graduate. Take 1 or 2 years, you're a lawyer. And at 42, to be a lawyer is just wonderful. You can get into politics, anything. So don't, it's not too late. Don't let anybody deceive you. That's just by the side. I'm talking to you now as a pastor. Don't let anybody deceive you and tell you that school is unnecessary. You've got to go to school. If you haven't gone, you should. Otherwise, you'll be among those who are always angry with those who went. Yeah, so you've got to go. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Hear me, don't let anything stop you from going to school. And don't tell yourself, well, my mates have been out for so long. I said, even if you're 35, in fact, if you're 40, you can still go. If you don't go, in 5 years' time, you become 45. You still wouldn't have gone. The age won't change. And if you dropped out of school, hear me, if you dropped out of school, get an opportunity to get back to school. On the other hand, if no school would take you, because there are some who would say, well, I didn't even finish the secondary school. So the issue of taking any entrance examination to the university doesn't come up. I stopped midway secondary school, maybe class 2 in the secondary school. Is that what they call GS? Whatever it is. So, maybe class 2 or class 3. They didn't get to class 5. So they said, well, so I don't even have the secondary school certificate, so I can't even go anywhere. All right. Begin to study at home. Get to a school. There are schools that you can go into. Apply for courses that you can read and pass your exams. There are many. If you seek them, you will find them. No one has a reason to be without knowledge in today's world. You can go to school on the internet. You hear me? You can go to school on the internet. You can enroll in the school on the internet. All of these things are available. Because the world of the future, of the next 5 years, is not the kind of world you are thinking about now. Are you hearing me? It's not the kind of world you are seeing now. No government will bridge the gap between the rich and the poor, the illiterates. The illiterates and the literates, the educated and uneducated, the schooled and the unschooled. Nobody's going to bridge the gap. See? So, get specialized knowledge. Even if you say to yourself, I want to be an electrician, study about it. Study, read. The one who reads will surely be better than the one that doesn't. Get the books about them and start studying. If you have to read, you know, without exams, no problem. Because you may already be working. But now study everything. Whatever job you do, get all necessary materials about that job. Study and become the best in that field. Hear me, it's important. Even if you are a tailor, look out for books. Not the old cutting designs, not those ones. Yeah, because you deceive yourself. Those ones are long gone. There's new information. If you are maybe you have a laundry establishment, okay? You do that. You're a laundry man. Study about it and improve and become the best in it. Don't wait until you have capital. No matter how much capital you're given, you will establish a large organization of dummies. You see that? But if you are good, because the world is changing, and we are going to preach the gospel with everything we've got. Are you hearing me? That's it. It's a new world. It's a new day. So when you have good brains, and you have the Holy Ghost with the miraculous, you beat the world to it. If you reason out and you can't fix it, you pray in other tongues. Then you lay your hands. They can't beat you. Glory. Well, anything is possible. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. I can do anything. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
This message is an excerpt from a volume series of teachings. To order for the complete volume, log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.